asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today, we're discussing your office beckons, Instagrammable fruit, and guaranteed gargantuan returns.
Hey man, we're going to talk about some of those big old fat returns that you are guaranteed to get. We've got that story plus a bunch of others that we're going to get to today on the Friday Flight, where we look at some of the different headlines from this past week. We're going to talk about how they're going to impact your finances. Joel, date night was last night, and you went to a show, right?
That's right. So, Emily,
how was it,
my wife and I, it was good. It was good. We saw one of my favorite artists, been around for more than 20 years, Pedro the Lion. Most people probably don't know.
AKA David Bazan.
That's right. He's the main guy behind it. And so,
was it a Pedro show or was it a David Bazan?
It was a Pedro show.
Oh,
they got
the band back together.
Got the band going on. And I'll put a link to one of the songs he sang last night. I wanted to mention it real quick because it was called Circle K, and this whole album is about kind of his childhood. And one of the things he sings about in this song is when he was a kid saving up his allowance for doing chores to try to buy this skateboard that he wanted.
Yeah, financially responsible dude.
That's right. Except for,
who knew it?
It turns out he wasn't, and he spent it all at Circle K gas station on soda pop and candy. And so
on roller food.
Yeah. So I just thought it was kind of fun. He said like he dreamed that he was only spending pocket change, but it turned out he couldn't buy a skateboard now. And it's just one of those things. I think we've all had an experience like that in our lives where we're like, wait, where did my money go? It's like, yeah, dribs and drabs. It's out of our lives. And then those bigger things that we were saving for that we really wanted to purchase, we can't afford them now.
Yeah, man.
And
it
so
it all adds up.
Happens to kids, in the case of David Bazan, and it happens to grown-ups too.
Well, hopefully that was a lesson he was able to learn earlier on in life, right? But I think it's super cool that we're able to learn these different lessons and talk about them in different ways. In his case, he's able to translate that into music, into art.
I'm sure he didn't think he was going to be talked about on a personal finance podcast today. But
in our case, we talk about it. We're a little nerdier here, so we talk about it in a very straightforward way on a podcast.
I think that was literally like the seventh time I've seen him. He's the artist I've seen more than anybody else live.
That's a lot of shows.
So he's one of my all-time favorite bands. I encourage people to
super cool
check it out. But we'll link to that song in particular, a video of it in our show notes.
That's right.
But Matt, before we move on to the Friday Flight, we have one more announcement we just have to make, and that is that the How to Money newsletter is launching.
It is up and running
on Tuesday. So we this past last Tuesday, we sent out just kind of like, hey, anybody who's currently subscribed to How to Money through our website, we sent out just like a notice, hey, it's coming soon. And Tuesday is going to be our first newsletter drop.
The first official newsletter is going to come out this coming Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so if you want money advice for free in your inbox, in addition to what you hear here on the podcast, we encourage you to sign up. It is going to be a bounty of helpful information. It's going to be fun too at the same time. And we promise we will not spam your inbox. It will only be good content coming from us. We know there's a lot of crap trying to infiltrate your inbox every week, and we'll be providing standout top-notch content. That is our goal.
Yeah, and hopefully you already received that sort of that initial email where we were trying to prime the pump a little bit and let you know. But if you are not signed up, if you're not subscribed to the How to Money newsletter, head over to howtomoney.com/newsletter. You can sign up there. And just to incentivize you to go ahead and do that, we're going to give away 5 different packets of books from different authors who we've had on the show. We're going to give away several copies of Nick Majuli's book. We had him on the show recently.
Right. Just Keep Buying. Yes. We got Finance for the People from Paco de Leon.
Yeah.
We got some of those house hacking books. So
make sure to sign up, though, before that that first Tuesday newsletter goes out. As long as you are signed up before then, you'll be entered into the giveaway, and we'll be reaching out to you.
So we'll say Monday at midnight. If you're signed up by then, you're entered to win a package of books, and we will notify you by email since you've signed up for the newsletter. But
totally. Yeah,
thank you in advance for signing up.
Looking forward to that newsletter,
man. For supporting everything we do.
Finally.
Yeah. It's gonna be
fun. We've talked about it for a while and we're actually getting it off the ground.
That's right. All right. It's time. So, all right, let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the Friday Flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week, how they pertain to people's personal finances. And, you know, the title, in the title of this episode, we called it Your Office Beckons. And there were some articles floating around this week about going back to the office. I even saw some tweets from some New York Times writers who, it sounds like the Times wants to pull them back into the office and they're resisting. But it brings up the question, should we all be going back into the office, at least people who are working from home and used to work in the office? And there was a great opinion piece in Bloomberg from one of my favorite personal finance writers. Her name's Allison Schreger. And it was about returning to the office and how it's actually better for everyone. And she makes the case that working from home can work great for some folks, especially ones who are further along in their career. But for those who are just starting out in their careers, they get a lot more out of being in the building, partaking in the company culture. It's just so helpful to be in there with your coworkers and your bosses. And of course, there's a lot to be said about the convenience of working from home. Some folks really can get more done while not having to commute. And I get that. Like, commuting is the worst, right? It's no fun to be stuck in your car. Mm-hmm. But I get where Allison is coming from. And I see more calls back to the office coming in the near future for a lot of folks. So this is kind of a conundrum people are going to have to wrestle with. Like, do I want to try to find a new job where they're going to let me work from home 365 days a year? Or am I willing to go back in 5 days a week, or can I find some sort of hybrid solution?
Yeah, that might be tougher, though, if all of the employers are calling their workers back.
Yeah, you might have less pull if,
exactly,
if everybody's saying, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, but right now, office occupancy, it's still only at 40% across the U.S., and so working from home is still a reality for a lot of folks. But I do see more hybrid work in the future as opposed to like full-time working from home. So maybe like 2 or 3 days in the office instead of going back a full 5 days a week. And a reason for that is because productivity, it has actually been slightly higher on average with more folks being able to work from home. But there's likely going to be these long-term diminishing returns if working from home remains the norm. An economist in that article mentioned that it's sort of like going to the gym, right? Like, it is great in moderation, but if you do it in excess, it might become a little problematic.
Yeah, I'm starting to get too jacked over
here. There are going to be other issues that you deal with. And like, I mean, it's funny because we also see that literally with working out with friends who we have who get into it too much. And it's like, okay, the reason that you're doing this is in order to be healthy so that your body feels good. But now you tore your Achilles and you're having to have that repaired. Yeah. It's like the opposite.
You're going too hard.
The opposite of health. But I don't think it's a coincidence, though, that we have seen the Great Resignation impacting a workforce that is primarily working from home, right? Like, not only is it difficult to instill culture, but it is tough to train. It is tough to keep employees happy when you are not there in person. I think these are very related. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm getting the feeling that even folks who love working from home, they may not be opposed to spending just at least a few more days each month in the office, even if they do have to commute, even if they are what feels like wasting some time in the car. Don't forget, you can always listen to How to Money on the drive.
That's right. Yeah, the podcasts actually need this commute time. So please help us out and go back in the office.
Literally, I remember that back when the pandemic hit and folks, nobody was commuting to work anymore. I mean, podcasts across all genres saw a hit. It is fascinating to see how our routines shape the media that we consume.
That's right. Yeah. And I think dishwashers, if we got rid of dishwashers, that would help podcasts too, because that's the perfect time to listen to a podcast, washing mm-hmm. dishes by hand. But speaking of working from home, Matt, we actually talked about your home appraisal issue on Wednesday. And so home appraisers, it turns out that they're doing their jobs from home now too. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are accepting what are known as desktop appraisals for all eligible transactions now nationwide. And at first blush, this seems maybe like a great solution. Why does this home appraiser need to show up, walk through the house? Can't they get enough data from the comfort of their own home office? Well, that's a good question. We've talked about House Canary on the show before, and they've been working on appraisal software that's getting pretty accurate. And the great thing about software is that you're able to remove any subjectivity from the equation.
Yeah, I think that's the best part of it.
Human bias, right? Mm-hmm. And human inaccuracy. And so the algorithms and the software, they're looking at cold, hard facts. So it does seem like maybe we're moving in the right direction and that this is probably something that technology is going to be able to solve and also bring down the price of, because the average cost of an appraisal is pretty insane these days. And so I do think maybe these tech solutions will bring the cost down. We'll cut it by a huge margin.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's one of the reasons that technology might come out ahead in this way. Like, it makes me, I was talking to a realtor friend recently, and he was talking about how architects, when it comes to making drawings of houses, basically the as-is drawings, right? So before you add on to a home, before you make any changes, a lot of times you have to get those as-is drawings. And he was talking about how architects now use like this like LiDAR scanning device. And so they just put it in the room, they hit scan, and it scans it and automatically imports it into like a CAD drawing.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is like, this is a perfect instance or example where that's going to be much more affordable than somebody yeah. going by hand, measuring, drawing it on the, you know, on their grid paper or their graph paper, whatever it is that architects draw on. But I agree as far as how it could significantly impact the cost. But I'm not sure, though, how desktop appraisals are going to be the best answer, though, because I feel like there are just so many different factors that go into determining the value of a home. So, for instance, like, is there a giant dead tree that's in your neighbor's yard, but it's like hanging over the house? Does the inside of the house, does it smell terrible, right? Like, does it smell like dead rats because there's a rodent problem? Do cars speed down the street because maybe that that street or that portion of the road is a cut through? These may not be factors that an appraiser should be considering, but it would definitely have an impact on what the house would sell for. And the idea is to get an idea of what it's actually worth. So I agree, though. I mean, hopefully the technology continues to get better. But if not, if it doesn't get better, then we're just trading like these human appraiser problems and human appraiser errors for software problems. But I do see the upside of moving in the direction of tech in order to save home buyers money.
Yeah, and I think I've been on the both sides of where appraisals have either gone much, they've been much more than I thought the home was actually worth,
or overperformed. Yeah,
I feel like and human appraisers can make significant errors when it comes to actually valuing a home. And I'm not saying that the software is necessarily better than that, but maybe similarly bad and so off by a similar amount, and just the decreased cost of getting home appraisals would be helpful to so many buyers, because it's got to be a really, really expensive thing. And yeah, typically a human appraiser picks out three properties that are in your area, but that can even be, especially in neighborhoods like where we live, just incredibly street specific. Well, and so the three properties they're picking to value your home,
like 4 miles away.
Yeah, they might not actually be great comps.
Especially given how low our inventory is right now, because they're trying to find comps, and it's just like, man, these aren't comps. They just happen to be houses that have recently sold. Exactly.
Yeah, and there aren't many of those. Well, speaking of homes, Matt, let's talk about homeowners associations for just a second, and investors, and kind of there's an interesting story at the intersection of these two things. One major cause for concern when it comes to the housing market is the number of investors who are snapping up homes right now. They're buying 1 in 5 homes that are being sold right now, and that's a concern. And it's not just local mom and pop investors, actually. We're talking hedge funds and large investor groups that are kind of tipping the scales. But one way to potentially slow down some of these bigger investment groups from buying single family homes are homeowners associations.
HOAs.
Yeah. And so the Wall Street Journal actually reported this week that neighborhood groups around the country are amending covenants that are going to make it harder for homeowners to sell their home to investors. And so that includes neighborhood rental caps or requiring new buyers to actually live in the house for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you and I, we don't live in a neighborhood with a homeowners association, but I kind of like seeing this because corporate investors in particular haven't been great for some of these neighborhoods. And I've seen just too much documented evidence of these folks not keeping up with properties, treating renters poorly. Mm-hmm. And so if I lived somewhere with a homeowners association, this is something I would consider. If I was on the board, I would be like, what do we need to do to our covenants to make sure that some of these bigger landlords who might not maintain the property very well, which would then impact the entire neighborhood, How do we keep them out?
Most deaf. And you don't even need to be on the board. You know, just make sure you show up to those meetings and let your voice be heard.
Yeah.
You have the power to do this. Joel, I feel like we've been preaching the I-bond gospel repeatedly on the show over the
That's
last
true.
6 months. And we've been doing this for good reason as well, because currently I-bonds are paying 150 times what the average savings account is paying.
Oh, so now we're talking about those guaranteed gargantuan returns,
This is that story. Okay. Exactly. Those big, fat, juicy returns. The I-bond interest rate is directly tied to the rate of inflation. That's why they're called I-bonds. And so the new rate paid on I-bonds starting May 1st is going to be 9.6%.
Holy crap.
We're nearing 10% on up to $10,000, or an extra $5,000 if you contribute from your tax return, for a total of $15,000. But that is up from the already great rate of 7.1%. And so you've heard us talk about this before, but if you haven't jumped in on this and you want to, now is the time. Specifically now, like you've got the next six
Less
days
than a week,
or
yeah.
whatever. Because if you buy I-bonds before April 28th, then you'll be able to take advantage of both of these exceedingly high rates, giving you an overall rate of more than 8.5%. And so, yeah, the rate is moving to 9.6%. And like the way it works is that's the interest rate paid out annually, but it only pays it for 6 months before it basically resets, or it doesn't reset, but they reassess what they're going to pay. And so essentially you're going to be able to lock in that average of 8.5%. And there is no other place that you're going to be able to get a guaranteed rate of return like that.
Yeah, that's true. And for a lot of people who have money that they don't mind locking away for 12 months or longer, I-bonds are just a phenomenal place to sock away some of your excess cash right now. And why now? Because, well, if the rate's just going up, right, isn't it going to continue to go up? Well, so much of that depends on what happens with inflation. And a lot of folks are saying that we're actually at peak inflation now.
Who knows
it's
if
hard
that's
to know.
Actually the case?
It's
yeah,
hard
we,
to know.
We don't know the future.
But even if inflation does continue to go up or maybe remain steady, that means you're going to just keep getting paid great rates of interest moving forward if you keep your money in I-bonds. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where you got to lock it away for at least 12 months, but you can lock it away for longer than that.
Exactly.
And this is just the best guaranteed return out there, bar none. So I-bonds are the way to go. We'll actually have more information and tell you how to sign up in the How to Money newsletter this week.
That's right. Another little incentive. We're going to dangle that carrot for you to sign up. We've got several other stories that we're going to get to. We didn't mention this one at the top of the episode, but we're going to talk about the rise and fall of Netflix. We'll get to that plus several other stories right after the break.
Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, we're back. This is the Friday Flight, and Matt, you teased to Netflix. We're going to get to that in a second, mm-hmm. but you said the fall, more like the precipitous fall. It was a rough week for everyone over there at the streaming giant Netflix, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's get to the ludicrous headline of the week. This one comes from the Wall Street Journal, and here's the title. What is an Oishi strawberry?
Oh, very, very good.
Did I pronounce it right?
I think so. I don't know. I wouldn't have known how to say it. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're good. And would you pay $6 for one? And so
$6 for
a single strawberry, not a carton. Well, and this piece is all about fancy fruits that cost an arm and a leg. I was not privy to this information before, Matt. I did not know people paid this much for fancy high-end citruses or what's being called luxury fruits.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a phrase I never thought I would find myself saying, luxury fruits.
This is a luxurious fruit.
But here we are, I guess.
Only for the fanciest people.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen it all now. And yeah, the word has been getting out about upscale fruit on social media. And if you think about it, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because again, over the past year, folks have had more money on hand than ever before. So they're spending extra bucks on grapes that taste like cotton candy and stuff like that.
Have you seen these at Aldi?
No, they have the they have them at Aldi.
Yes,
too, huh?
Yeah, I was talking to Kate about it.
But those probably can't be nearly as expensive as some.
No, it's not like $6 a grape or something like that. But it is like 3-4 times more expensive, and you can even buy these. Like, how luxury is it if you can buy it at Aldi?
That's
right?
True, yeah.
but I do think that the reason this has been more popular is because it's just accessible.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, folks haven't been able to spend their money on the things that they normally would. And if you can spend like an extra few bucks and try something completely novel, something completely different, why not? I feel like it's a very low bar to entry.
Yeah, I feel like those private jet selfies no longer as cool. You got to have the Instagrammable fancy fruits in order to get you the likes and the retweets and all that jazz. But I still remember, actually, Matt, the best strawberries I've ever had in my entire life, and they were not even that expensive. They were in France, and we got them from a market, and they
so
were...
So you're like, I don't even know how much I paid for them. It was in euros.
Yeah, exactly. What's the exchange rate? I don't remember. I swear they were like normal price. It was like $3 equivalent or €3 for the carton, and they were so good. And I've never found strawberries in the States that taste like that. But there's no way I'm paying $6 per strawberry to find out
if these
are that level.
I'd be willing to do it once. I would also be very willing to do like a blind taste test and be like, all right, Kate, blindfold me, spin them around, get the regular strawberry, got the fancy strawberry. I want to let you know which one I think is the most expensive one. But we've never gotten those cotton candy grapes. But Joel, you may not be paying for them. I might be willing to give it a try. Something that we will all be paying a bit more for these days is going to be eggs. Last week, we talked about how inflation has driven the cost of groceries up by 10% year over year. And to make matters worse, the avian flu, it's spreading like Omicron did over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It is driving up egg prices in a big way. The cost of a dozen eggs has more than tripled since November. And according to the USDA, it looks like many more chicken farms will be impacted. We're only like a couple months into this. And the last time there was an avian flu, it lasted like 5 or 6 months. So I think we might be seeing more price impacts to come. Obviously, this sucks, of course, but eggs, man, like they're still the most, like one of the most affordable proteins and most like just nutritious all around foods that you can buy. And so this kind of might be one of those grin and bear it situations where it's like, well, what else can you buy that is that affordable that can give you that much nutrition?
We're all about trading off the grocery store, going to a store brand instead of a name brand. There are lots of ways to save at the grocery store, but cutting eggs out of your diet isn't necessarily a great thing. I mean, you know, if you like eggs and if they're a part of your balanced diet, you know, they're a big part of your protein intake. What are you going to switch to? Steak? No, that stuff's way more expensive. Come on. So
it's got the omega-3s in there. It's got the protein.
That's right.
There's other stuff too.
Yeah.
Yolk.
So stick to the eggs. They're even though they're more expensive.
By the way, Easter was recently. Did y'all get any Cadbury cream eggs?
Yeah, I love those things.
Do you really? Oh,
I
man,
do.
Those things are so polarizing. We had them recently.
People love them or hate them.
You love them or hate them. I even remember as a kid seeing them on TV because like I remember the commercials in the late 80s, early 90s. And they had the different animals trying out to be the new Cadbury Bunny.
Right.
I remember like the lion wearing the bunny ears and like roaring or whatever. And that totally sold me on. I was like, Mom, we got to get these Cadbury eggs. And she got them. And I was like, oh, I don't like these. These are terrible. And it's funny because our kids were the exact same way. They're all excited about them and they bit into them and they're just like, ugh.
What is this?
It's just,
I've always liked them.
They're just like gooey and gross.
They're kind of weird, but I still like them.
Very polarizing.
Yeah, they are. All right. Well, let's keep moving on, Matt. Let's talk about credit card debt, because we can't seem to catch a break on prices, right? It feels like inflation is running rampant and it is impacting every single one of our lives, at least in one form or fashion, one way or another. And one terrible trend that we hate seeing is folks pulling out their credit cards again in order to deal with those rising prices. We saw a dip. People were paying off their credit card debt during much of the past 2 years, and now that trend has
reversed itself.
Or at least for half
of
it. Yeah.
Like basically the first year, like from spring of 2020 to spring of 2021, we saw it decline because folks were like, what's going on in the world? I want to make sure I'm prepared. I want to make sure I'm in a good financial position. But it was a U curve, essentially. If you look at it, it's starting to curve back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Pretty significantly, actually.
That is not a good trend. A recent survey from LendingTree shows that Americans are pulling out their credit cards in a significant way, mostly to deal with inflation. And we know that prices are a pain. The average American has had to come up with something close to $300 a month more compared to the same time last year just to cope with rising prices. We're talking fuel, we're talking rent, you know, we're talking groceries. And so according to data from the Federal Reserve, like you said, Matt, it's been a U, and we are back to pre-pandemic levels mm-hmm. of credit card debt, which as personal finance nerds, that is just disconcerting. We hate seeing that. And so, yeah, rising prices can be tough, but going into credit card debt is a bad move, especially since we're in an environment of rising rates, it's more important to be looking for ways to grow your income and cutting back on expenses. That's necessary because avoiding credit card debt is important to your financial future, especially as rates are going to continue ticking up. You're going to be paying more in interest on that credit card debt if you keep racking it up.
That's right. Yeah. One of the ways that folks are cutting back is by eliminating subscriptions that they no longer want to pay for. Netflix stock. It sank like a rock this week on the news that they are losing subscribers. They've already lost 200,000 folks, and they expect to lose 2 million more this quarter alone. That's insane. We are living in the golden age of streaming, and that means that Netflix is not as relevant or necessary as they used to be. There's a lot more competition. It's fierce in the streaming space. We're no longer cooped up, you know, because of lockdowns, and Netflix is feeling the heat.
Yeah, we don't have to watch your Tiger King anymore, Netflix.
Exactly. It's like nobody's willing to put up with that crappy content.
I didn't want to watch it anyway, but I felt forced to because I had nothing else to do.
It's like I've got all this time on my hands. Actually, there's a new CNBC survey, and it showed that more than one-third of Americans are looking to trim recurring subscriptions as inflation continues to soar. Because, yeah, as streaming services abound, the monthly cost for folks who want to watch all the different stuff that's out there, it is quickly approaching the levels of a traditional old school cable bill. It's gotten completely out of hand, and folks are looking to make some changes.
That's right. And so in a move to be helpful, there was an article this week in Consumer Reports, and they detailed how to pick the right streaming services to ensure that your bill isn't up in that cable level range, and it's more in like that $20 to $25 a month range. And you want to hear what they suggested, Matt?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so they said Paramount Plus.
Tell me.
Which costs $50 a year is one that you should go with.
Okay.
The Disney Plus package that includes Hulu and ESPN Plus.
Down with that.
Is another one. I think it's $14 a month. And so here's the thing, though. We all like to watch different stuff. So,
yeah.
So I didn't really like the recommendations.
I like the second option, maybe not the Paramount Plus, though. I'm like,
yeah.
What's on that? I don't know. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, maybe? It's like, what's some 90s or 2000s rom-coms?
I know you like to watch that one on repeat. But yeah, we all have different tastes. And I think it's actually better than saying, here are the two or three you should subscribe to. Just subscribing and unsubscribing based on the shows that you just can't miss. So for instance, we're signed up for Apple TV right now for just a month, in order to watch Pachinko and Macbeth, the Denzel Washington version, which is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're going to ditch it. Don't forget to set a calendar reminder to actually cancel when you sign up for stuff so that you're not paying in perpetuity.
That's right.
And also, it's important to mention not to forget about the free streaming platforms. I'll name a bunch here real quick. Crackle, Roku, Canopy, Peacock. There are more than that, too.
There are a ton more.
Yeah. So it's important, I would say, be loyal to your dollars, not to Netflix or to any streaming service. And by the way, Matt, you remember we talked about individual stocks recently? And Netflix is one of those stocks I think people love to own because they're like, this is something I use all the time. Of course. Like, I want to buy a name that I know, use, and love.
I want to invest in something I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if this week isn't a reflection of what we talked about, the perils of individual stock investing, I don't know what is. Because, yeah, if you owned Netflix stock, if you bought it even a couple of years ago, and now you're like, I have lost money over the past couple of years owning this stock. It is, and how quickly you can lose money, 35% in a single day. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, it's a total crapshoot. Joe, let's keep moving. It is Friday, but hopefully you filed your taxes on Monday, or if you didn't file your taxes, maybe, or hopefully you filed an extension.
Hopefully, because so if not, you're going to get hit with a penalty and
penalized
interest.
Significantly. But we wanted to mention a quick story from the Washington Post, and basically they found that certain tax software providers, so like TurboTax, H&R Block, they had this option that you could click, basically where you would waive the protection that you have over the information in your tax return. So basically, the way that the federal law works, all your numbers on your tax return cannot be information that they harvest. But by clicking this box, as you are, you know, doing your taxes, as you're getting ready to submit, it says, hey, if you click this box and you waive that protection, we will be able to provide you with better services, customized products. But hopefully that is not something that you did, because what you're going to start seeing is eerily specific products that has to do directly with the numbers that you entered into your tax return. If that's something that you already did, there are ways to undo that. But obviously, they're not going to make it easy. You have to email them directly and asked to undo that option. We will link to that Washington Post story where they detail how you can go about doing that if you happen to have filed with one of these companies.
Yeah, and I feel like I am only becoming more and more disenchanted with the biggest of the tax filing software programs because they don't want you to file for free. They actually are actively trying to get you to pay as much as they possibly can. And now they're trying to grab your data in order to sell you a bunch more stuff too. So I would tell people avoid these guys like the plague.
Yeah. Initially they're kind of doing like the car dealership model where they're just like trying to get you in the door. Then, oh, don't you want to add this trim level? And then, you know, they're kind of like getting you to kind of ratchet up the total bill. But now,
especially by saying it's free, even though most people didn't qualify for the free.
Exactly. But now they're kind of following the Facebook model as well, where they're harvesting all that information and they're using that against you.
Yep.
Yeah, I hate seeing that.
It's dirty, but it's something to be aware of. Let's talk about travel for a second, Matt, because airfare prices are on the rise. And I think the number was that the cost of airfare is 10.7% higher this month than it was last month. That's literally month over month, which is incredible. Spring and summer travel are going to be lit, as the kids say, but also more costly. Can I say it like that? Is that
As we say. We say that sometimes.
We're older than the people who actually use that language. But Kayak actually says that domestic trips are going to cost 28% more on average than they did in 2019. So those domestic trips getting way more expensive. But here's the interesting thing. International trips are only 6% expensive than a couple years ago. And with 85% of Americans planning to travel this summer, I feel like we got to talk more about travel, don't we?
Yes, we do. And the court decision to overturn mask mandates on airplanes that led to basically every airline ditching those mask rules immediately.
Instantaneously,
to the great relief of flight attendants everywhere who were tasked with enforcing those rules. But because there has to be a cute name for everything these days, some folks are calling this travel resurgence revenge travel, which kind of sounds like nasty.
Why are you so angry? There's no need.
Yeah. Who's the revenge against? I guess it's against COVID.
How about have funsies again? Travel.
But folks, they're making up for this lost time. They're booking flights, they're booking cars, hotel rooms, despite the increased costs. But that doesn't mean that you can't find cheap flights or go on an awesome vacation. Cheap flight deals are still out there. And find out why and how it is that you can book one when we talk with cheap flight expert Scott Kies. He says that we're awash in cheap flights right now. And we'll actually dig into the details and talk more about travel this coming Monday.
That's right. Scott is a cheap flight guru. I can't wait to
get what's up, man.
More information. If you're itching to book a trip in the near future and you want to find out how to do it for as little money as possible, this is the episode you need to check out. It's coming into your podcatcher on Monday. So, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Don't forget to sign up for our email newsletter. And remember, five lucky folks who sign up before Monday at midnight are going to get
some awesome books.
Some awesome books, exactly. We'll send them directly to your mailbox. So, and we hope that the How to Money newsletter brings helpful financial information into your inbox. That's the goal.
It brings joy to your life.
And a smile.
Into your money.
Yes.
All right. That's going to be it. Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.